praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is not narrow sectarianism, but the body of Christ. Through his messages in these life studies, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts. And we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program. With us in the studio today to fellowship about our life study message is Ed Marks. Ed, it's good to have you back.
It's really good to be back today. We'll be again on Jacob's dream in Genesis 28 to see the intrinsic significance of the dream that the Lord gave him in this chapter.
Well, we've already touched this, as you referred, but because of the significance of the first appearing in the Bible of the house of God, it's probably worth another look. Would you review the elements of Jacob's dream for us before we begin today?
In Jacob's dream, there are some major elements. When Jacob had this dream, he saw a ladder, and this ladder joined heaven to earth and brings earth to heaven. And this is very significant because in John 1:51, the Lord Jesus told Nathanael, he said, "You shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." What the Lord was showing Nathanael is that he is the reality of that ladder that Jacob saw in his dream. So we can see how significant this dream is. It's very significant. Then at the conclusion of his dream, when Jacob awoke, he said, "This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And we'll see that the house of God is God's heart's desire. This is the goal of his eternal purpose. He wants a house. Well, after Jacob made this declaration, he took the stone that he had been using for a pillow and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. These are the major components of Jacob's dream, and all of them are rich in significance. And we will see the significance of these items in this broadcast.
Thank you, Ed. I'm anxious to get to this broadcast and take a closer look at these four crucial items. Let's join Witness Lee.
This is the most crucial point in the whole book of Genesis. You may say Genesis 1:26 is very crucial. Right, that is crucial. But it is not so crucial as chapter 28 concerning the dream of Jacob. In this dream, the most striking thing are two. Number one, a stone. It's very strange that when Jacob traveled a long journey and got tired and he was quite lonesome, surely he didn't have any rest. But he got tired and he slept there in the open air, and he made a piece of stone his pillow. It's quite meaningful. Firstly, he made that stone a pillow. And then, secondly, he set up that stone a pillar. A pillow is for resting. A pillar is for building. It's quite meaningful. Do you realize your pillow will become a pillar? Let me check with you tonight. In your human life, is there a pillow? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, what is your pillow? Some say Jesus, some say church, and some say the Spirit. I would say altogether not so right. Later on you will see. You shouldn't go so fast, so quick. Firstly, the pillow, then the pillar, then what? The house. He said he will make that piece of stone which he made a pillow. And he set up a pillar. The house of God. It's quite meaningful. These are the two things, the stone and the house. Plus this, you have one striking thing. That is the oil. He poured the oil upon the stone. Now you have the stone, the pillar, the house, plus the oil. Do you realize that these four things are the very basic factors that the Bible is composed with? The stone, the pillar, the house, and the oil. It's not a small thing.
Ed, this is quite an amazing proposition that I think really needs your elaboration. We just heard that these four items, the stone, the pillar, the house, and the oil, are the basic composition of the whole Bible.
These four items are absolutely marvelous, and I would like to just start with this matter of the house of God. This phrase, the house of God, which Jacob named this place where he had this dream, he named it Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. This is what God desires in this universe. He wants to dwell in man, and he wants man to dwell in him. This mutual indwelling of God and man is the house of God. The New Testament tells us when the Lord Jesus was incarnated, when God became a man, John 1:14 says he tabernacled among us. Then in John 2, he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. He was speaking of the temple of his body. This shows us that Christ was the reality of the tabernacle and the temple. As a man, God dwelt in him, and he dwelt in God as a mutual dwelling of God and man. Well, when Christ resurrected, he produced the church as his body, and 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us that the church is the house of the living God. Eventually, when we come to the end of the Bible, we see that the New Jerusalem, as the consummation of the church, is the tabernacle of God and the temple of God. It is the mutual dwelling of God and man. God dwells in man, man dwells in God. This is the goal of God's heart's desire. With this dream, we have the house of God, and we see the composition of the house of God with this matter of the stone. Jacob used a stone as a pillow for his rest, and he set this stone up as a pillar. Well, we know that the house of God is composed of stones, not lifeless stones, but living stones. So 1 Peter 2:5 tells us that we are being built up into a spiritual house as living stones. All the believers are living stones for God's spiritual house. Then you have the matter of the pillar. Well, Jacob took that stone that he had been using for a pillow, he set it up as a pillar. When we experience Christ, when Christ is wrought into us, we become living stones for God's building. But those experiences of Christ also need to be brought to the children of God and dispensed into them, and then that becomes something God uses for his building. This is the pillar. Even as we get dispensed into with Christ, we also can become pillars in God's house, according to Revelation 3, verse 12. And when Jacob set up this stone as a pillar, he poured oil on it. This is a symbol of the Spirit as the ultimate reaching of the triune God to man. All of these pictures are absolutely marvelous. We're living stones. We have Christ wrought into us. We become pillars for God's building. And the way this is achieved is by the Spirit. Spirit being poured out on us, infused into us, so that we could be mingled with God to be God's house in this universe.
Yet it may have seemed like a reach to some to say that these four items were the basic composition of the whole Bible, but I believe in this fellowship and in the life study today, there is some real enlightenment here. Thank you. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
God's intention is to make man his corporate expression. Now we come to Jacob. What you can see, a supplanter, a heel holder, a very crafty young man. This is what we can see. Of course, today with the light of the whole Bible, we know that this young supplanter was chosen by God. And we have got to see clearly that he was destined to have the birthright, even predestined. That the birthright is just meaning to express God. Not only to represent God, but also to express God. Well, this young supplanter got in trouble by his supplanting. On the way of his lonesome journey, out of a sudden in the night, a dream came to him. A dream. We all have to realize to be saved is a dream.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
And that should be our first dream.
Really?
Our initial dream in our spiritual life.
Amen.
In the heavenly dreams, now a stone is revealed. And a pillar is revealed.
Amen.
And a house, especially a house of God, is revealed.
Amen.
And the oil is also revealed. These four things have never been mentioned. In the foregoing 27 and a half chapters, no stone mentioned, but a lot of bricks made in chapter 11. For building that devilish city, Babel. And for building that demonic tower, Babel. Bricks. No stone. Bricks. You know, when we're on chapter 11, we have pointed out bricks are human work. Bricks are the issue of human effort with clay. You all have to realize today all the religions are represented by bricks. All the humankind is just a piece of clay. Religion works over the humankind to produce bricks. The stone had never been mentioned before chapter 28. We all know the first mention in the Bible always sets up a principle. When Peter firstly came to the Lord, right away the Lord changed his name. And what was the meaning of that name? A stone. A stone. You are no more Simon, you are Cephas, a stone.
Amen.
Then Peter, later in his ministry, writing the first epistle, he says, we all are stones and living stones to be built up a spiritual house.
Amen.
Then when we come to the ultimate end of the Bible, what we can see there is just a city built up with stones in the The principle of the Bible, a city is always the enlargement of the house. When a house is enlarged immensely, that becomes a city. Now you can see how consistent is the Bible. By seeing all this, you can realize what is a stone. A stone is the material for God's building of his house. Then what is God's house? God's house is just God's satisfaction, God's rest, and God's expression. Praise him. Eventually, what the house he will get will be enlarged into a city.
Amen.
In chapter 4 of Revelation, God looks like jasper. And the city's appearance is also like jasper. And that means the city is just God's appearance. The city is just God's expression. The city even will be the enlargement of God.
Ed, I'd like to ask you to develop this thought of the city representing the enlargement of God in typology. What is meant by the term, the enlarged God?
Yes, we have to see this from the scriptures. In John chapter 3, John the Baptist said concerning Christ, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. This is in John 3, verse 29. Then in verse 30, he says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. Showing us that the increase of Christ as the bridegroom is his bride. This shows us that the church is the increase of Christ, the enlargement of Christ. In John 12:24, the Lord likens himself to a grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying. Then when that grain of wheat comes up in resurrection, it produces many grains. These many grains are ground together and blend together into one loaf. So these many grains become the reproduction of Christ. And when they're blent together into one loaf, they become the enlargement of Christ. This enlargement of Christ is the church as the body of Christ. It is in this sense that we use the term the enlargement of God. Eventually, when you come to the New Jerusalem, we can say in this sense that the New Jerusalem is the enlargement of God because the New Jerusalem is the ultimate consummation of the mingling of the triune God with all his chosen and redeemed people. In eternity past, God was merely God in himself. But in time, he became a man, he died on the cross, he entered into resurrection, and he dispensed himself into millions and millions and millions of men. In this sense, he was enlarged. The New Jerusalem is actually a great God-man composed of God mingled with a corporate man with millions and millions of his chosen and redeemed people to be the enlargement of God in this sense.
Thank you, Ed. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
That night, not only Jacob was homeless, you have to realize God was also homeless. When man is homeless, God is also homeless. When man is not satisfied, God is neither satisfied. Look at that poor Jacob that night. Homeless, restless. In the whole universe, there was such a picture showing that man and God both were homeless. Do you really know what eventually would be man's home? You all have to know eventually man's home for eternity is God. I tell you, if tonight, if there's someone who has never been saved yet, I'd like to tell you, friend, as long as you don't have God, you don't have a home. You don't have home. In my visit, always people would tell me, feel at home. Any unsaved person could never feel at home. You have no home. What's your who?
God
is a who. And who's God's who? We are his who. Man's home is God, and God's home is man. When man is separate from God, this causes homelessness on both sides. Before you got saved, regardless what you were, how you were, where you were, actually, you didn't have any rest. But one day, when we got saved, something deep within us happened. And that something produced a result. And that result became our solid support. Maybe after you got saved, in a short time, you had troubles. Yet, deep within you, you have the assurance that something like a solid rock you can rest on. What is that? You may say that is Christ, but to see this directly is not so right. Then what is this? What is this? This is the very nature, the very element that has been wrought into your being. In your natural being, in your clay, you have no solid support. I don't care whether you got PhD degree, whether you got the high post, any kind of business, as long as you don't have the divine nature in you. You are a piece of clay. And this piece of clay could never be your solid support. There's no rest. Until one day you got saved. Something divine, something of God, something of Christ has been wrought into you.
Amen.
That part, that element has become a solid support to you.
Amen.
That is your rest. That is your pillow. What is your pillow? Your pillow is the very Christ, the divine element, wrought into your being.
Ed, how good it is to see that our pillow, our rest, is the very element of Christ wrought into our being. But how can this be set up as a pillar for God's building, God's house?
Yes, this is a good question, and I would answer it in this way. Our pillow, our rest, is the very element of Christ wrought into our being. Now, this element of Christ wrought into our being needs to be set up as a pillar for God's building, God's house. How does this happen? What this means practically is that the Christ that we experience, the Christ that is wrought into our being, we need to minister this Christ to others so that the body of Christ could be built up. This is why in 1 John, John says, the things which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. This means the Christ we've seen, the Christ we've heard, this is the Christ that's been wrought into us. We need to minister this Christ to others for God's building. This is why 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 says, he who prophesies builds up the church. To prophesy is to speak for the Lord and to speak forth the Lord. In other words, we experience something of Christ. We enjoy something of Christ. We see something of Christ in the Word. This is the element of Christ wrought into us. Our responsibility as believers is to share that very Christ with others. That's our prophesying. That's our speaking for the Lord. And that's our speaking Christ into others. He who does this, he who prophesies, builds up the church. This is the way that the Christ wrought into us can be set up as a pillar for God's building.
Thank you, Ed.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee spent 7 decades in the 20th century speaking Christ, first in Asia, and then North America, eventually all over the world. The culmination of those 70 years of ministry was his Life Study of the Bible, an exhaustive exposition of the entire Scriptures. This unique commentary focuses on how Christ can be life to man in an experiential and practical way. These programs encapsulate Witness Lee's speaking in just 26 minutes. But to get the complete riches, visit lifestudy.com. From there, you can read all of the Life Study messages in their entirety or download any of our more than 1,700 audio programs at no cost. Again, that website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.